Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. All right, there's the scripture. David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains and the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands and the captains over hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons with the officers and with the mighty men, with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. So he gathers all these people together for a message. All right. Then David. You just came to say hi, you're going to hang out for a little while.
I ain't hanging out.
All right, well, good to see you, girl.
What up, everybody?
All right. Just like that song, still crazy after all these years. All right.
They're on the map.
But, yeah, I know. Bump up in here like Carrot Top. All right, here we go. Sorry about that, everybody. We had an episode. All right. Then David stood upon his feet, verse 2, and said, "Hear me, my brethren, my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." We talked about that last week. "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all my house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler and of the house of Judah and my house of my father and among the sons of my father. He liked me to make me king over all Israel." Do you see what David's doing here?
Shut the
zoom, people cannot
hear you.
Yes, not a static.
Static was coming from you, but now we good. All right, can you guys hear me now?
A little better.
We can hear you, but we can't see you.
Because I'm sharing my screen.
Ken, you might need to go on mute. I think that was throwing everybody off.
Oh, okay.
Get him, David. All right, Tracy, can you guys hear me now?
Yes, a little better.
A little better. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Let us continue. So, what we see happening here is David says, "Man, I really wanted to do this for the Lord." But then, rather than dwell on the disappointment, do you think he was disappointed? Rather than dwell on the disappointment, look what he does next. He goes into, however, look at how God has blessed me. That's something for all of us. Because David is not talking to just a few people. He's talking to everybody that has any kind of role or responsibility in Jerusalem. And he's telling them, "Man, I really wanted to do this. I wanted to do this in my life. I wanted to achieve this. But I wasn't able to. But look at what God has allowed me to do." You know, it's almost like whenever you're in the Lord, you can never be a failure. Even though we may not have measured up to what we thought originally, may not have been able to accomplish all that we wanted to accomplish, when you're in the Lord, your blessings overtake what you were not able to do. And he goes on and says, "Of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, and he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." That's what the Lord is saying. "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as to this day." And we talked about this last week in 1 Chronicles 22. This is something that we should be giving to our children. It's the charge that we should be giving to our children. In fact, only Al remembers this. There used to be an old song in the old black churches in the Piney Woods.
I
Whew! You know, for years I used to think they were saying HR. I never knew what they were saying. That's, yeah. And they would draw it out and they would sing it out so long. And somebody speaks something. And what that's called, it was called hymn lining. Because back in the day, the slaves couldn't read, and so they didn't know. And so somebody who could read or knew the verses or whatever would tell them, you know. Just, you know, this one. But we used to sing those songs and didn't know what. And so when I saw this, I'm like, there was something about those songs, because when they were singing those songs, a charge I keep, and if I could look it up, I'll play it or whatever. But it was like, now I get it. But they would sing it so long and drawn out, because what they were reminding themselves is, this is not our home. We've got a destiny that's beyond this. So a charge I keep, and so he gives them this charge, and I've got some notes here that kind of outlined what he's doing here. And I give a little explanation as to God gives him the reason for not letting David build the temple. And I have an opinion here, and I'm just going to read the opinion, then we're going to move on to some other stuff, because this is really just kind of review, but I just want to hit and just kind of show you that it is in this 1 Chronicles 28. There are varying opinions as to why God disqualified David from actually building the temple, I write here. And this is my opinion. God wants the temple to be associated with peace. And I think we talked about this before. And David had only gotten up to the first six steps. And so God really is trying to let us know that his house should be a place of peace where he dwells. And it's the culmination of the feast. It is God's plan to build a house where he can inhabit. Amen? I mean, and we don't have to wait for the manifestation in the physical realm. We can enjoy and practice that right now. We need to build God a house. And we want our children to build God a house. What does that mean? That is specifically, as we talked about before, we want them to be a habitation in a place where God can see them, where the people can see them and see God in them and see his glory in their lives. And I want to thank Norm, because I was thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to record last week's lesson and then I'm going to give that to my kids or whatever. And I think what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm going to personalize a message to them and just let them know that there's a charge that I need you to keep. Yeah, then I might just get up out of there. They can't do it. Yeah, because all they can do is just run up in the woods and run away. Yeah, I got them then. But with all the technology, I might just do a short thing or whatever. And I hope Jalen, who's on the line, will realize you got a charge, son. And the good thing about it is, as parents, we don't want our kids to have to go through some of the stuff that we went through. So we try to prepare them and let them know, hey, look, if you go over here, you're going to blow your foot off. How do you know? Because look at the nub that I got. All right. So we try to do that, because we don't. But there's still a work that they must do. Mm-hmm. And what is that work? To go to school and get degrees. Okay. Yes. That's a good thing. To earn a living and be a provider for your family. Absolutely. You need to do that. You need to be responsible. You need to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. But the most important thing that you need to do, somebody said heaven, is make sure that you are a dwelling place for the Most High God. And Jalen, if you are a dwelling place and you work on building a place where God dwells inside of you and people can see it, he must bless Jalen and prosper and keep him. How do I know that? It's in the story here. Because the same thing that God promises for Solomon is the same thing that he promises for each of us as believers. All right, so let's keep going. And I'll put these notes out on the website or whatever. I'll try to print them off if anybody needs them. Or I can email you if you need them or whatever. But there's a lot of application here. And at the bottom here, I said, this is not just about religion. God has always been about relationship with us. So make sure he is your father and make him proud by obeying his will. There is security when you do. And Solomon's conditions still apply. Build a house, obey the law, obey God's will, you'll prosper. All right, verse 8, and again, I've said this before, we're going to wrap this up. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Is that a promise?
Mm-hmm.
Conditional?
Yes.
And in the sight of everybody in the congregation. So, Jalen, we're picking on you again today. In the sight and in the hearing of the congregation of this class, you should keep and seek the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land, and that you leave an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. Can you play God?
No.
No, because why? He knows your thoughts and your motivation. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. Just look for him. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, this is for all of us, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. I got something highlighted here. Our children need to know God for themselves.
Because he has chosen each one of us to be his sanctuary.
Absolutely. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. You know, we sing these songs, and sometimes we don't really understand exactly when, until you put the scripture to it. Just praise the Lord. Anyway. Then David gave Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and the house. And we went over this last week, I'm pretty sure. And he gets the pattern from God. Even the weight of the candlesticks of gold. And he just goes all the way down to verse 18 and 19, and just outlines all the furniture, some of the furniture. And in verse 19 it says, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. Where did he get the pattern for the temple? God. Where did Moses get the pattern for the tabernacle, the tent? God. Has the pattern changed? No, there's still an outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies where God dwells. Here's some points that I made here. A key point. The same basic pattern that God gave Moses, the same basic instructions and design he provides to David. And God is doing something new with the church, but the basic foundation and spiritual intent remains unchanged. Is David getting ready to do something new? Yes. He's building instead of a tent, they're going to be in a temple, in a house, in a building, in a structure. He's building upon that. But is the foundation still the same?
Yeah.
Application for today. We need to be careful that we are building our relationship with God and our churches on the foundation from God. This is just Chuck talking, but man, I still love hymns. I got saved on Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. And it's okay to build upon that. But I don't want our worship to get beyond the foundation upon which it was built.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're going to be infusing some weird stuff in there that looks like it'll work and it'll please the world, but it ain't pleasing God. First and foremost, I must always please God. When you leave the foundation, I get a little shaky. I get a little nervous when I see the foundation is being, anyway. And 21, and behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also, the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. And I say here, is there anything David says in verse 20 and 21 that we should also consider telling our children? Be strong and courageous in doing the work of the Lord. Just do it. Do not fear. Don't be discouraged. Why is he telling this? Because you can be discouraged and you can be afraid and you can get weak and you can want to give up. And then he says, it is not in our own power or might. He's the one that will do the work through us. Another point, power belongs to God. So he will not fail and he will not turn his back on us when we are in a right standing with him. Key point that I got listed here, David tells Solomon that God will be with him until he has finished the work and service of the house of the Lord. Here's my application. As long as we are in this body and this temple, God will be with us. Even if Jerry's sitting on his back and can't really do anything,
yes.
Is God still with him?
Yes.
Does he still have a ministry?
Yes.
Even if it's us praying for him, that's a ministry because he gives us the opportunity to go before the Lord. He helped, that helps us do level 5 stuff because I can't skip 5 and jump to 6 without there being a need. If you're breathing and you're above ground, God still needs you and uses you. All right. David assures Solomon that there are others who are ordained to help him with the work and the service of God. There's a caution here. Are we supposed to do this on our own?
No.
He puts people around us to help us. Do what? Build a place for him to dwell. All right, and I think I got to the end. The best thing I can perhaps tell my children would be the testimony of my experience with God. Focus on his goodness and give them this word. What word will I give them? This chapter is going to be a good place for me to share with them. And basically, I think what I'm going to tell them is my dad, a good man, wasn't really a spiritual guy because he didn't know any better. And he told me and showed me what he knew. I didn't always agree with him. And I could focus on the things that he didn't do that I thought he should have done. But when I focus on the good things that he's done, I celebrate my dad. But now I know more and I see more. And so I think it's the goal of every parent to do better than their parents. So here I am, and I want to have that conversation with them to let them know, here's what the word of the Lord says. My dad couldn't give me this word because he didn't know this word, but I want to do better than him, so I'm going to give you what he's shown me. And it has very little to do whether you like me or whether you agree with the things that I did or whatever, but I'm doing it better than my dad. And here's my charge. My charge is for you to build a house and maybe start this new tradition where we give this charge that comes out of this chapter and perhaps do this, which is what every parent wants done anyway. If you don't like what I did, just do better. David couldn't do everything he wanted to do, so he told Solomon, do better. Finish the work. So we can be telling all our children, you need to finish the work. Just do better. Finish the work. And you can't do better in your own strength. You can only do better in the Lord. That is 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Is there any question?
It's a rich chapter.
Yeah. Oh, Paul said that's better. Praise the Lord. I'm starting to get one. All right, so now I don't think my email came across yet with my new notes. So now we are moving from this, and we are going to Genesis chapter 4. And I know we spent a